You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to This Day in History with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, it is This Day in History. Going back to 1948 for the assassination of colonial Burmese premier Aung San, that's the father of Aung San Suu Kyi, who was assassinated shortly before the country achieved independence from the British Empire and shortly after the end of World War II.
Participating largely in the defence of Rangoon, cleverly decorated Tomahawk fighters are got ready for the interception of Jap raiders. American volunteer group pilots, originally trained to assist the Chinese, are now cooperating with the RAF. Their job in Burma just now is a full-time one. They're doing some lovely shooting, these Tomahawk pilots. In and around Rangoon may be seen bits and pieces of the yellow birds they've knocked down. The vital Burma road and rail links that reach out from Rangoon are the immediate Japanese objectives. The Burmese capital is suffering heavy aerial bombardment. At a suburban station, a heavily laden refugee train pulls in, bringing Indian families returning from the jungle after recovering from the first shock of a Japanese blitz. The governor of Burma, Sir Reginald Dorman Smith, offers words of sympathy to a man whose wife was killed in a raid. In this city of 500,000 people, an ARP system has grown up and already won its spurs in battle. Burma's number one city faces up to a mass Japanese assault.
Japan's surrender delegates are received in Manila with cold formality. Their chief, Lieutenant General Kawabe, and an American officer, who almost, but not quite, gives a handshake. Kawabe is met by Major General Willoughby, MacArthur's chief of intelligence. These envoys from Emperor Hirohito are here to get their surrender orders. First job is to hand over their credentials for checking. Before the series of Far East capitulations is done, we're going to get pretty well used to this kind of picture. If you want to learn how to put on a poker face, take a look at a few of these samples. First pictures of Act Two of the surrender drama. Scene, Rangoon, chief characters, representatives of the Allied Supreme Command, and an unhappy-looking bunch of sons of heaven. Field Marshal Count Terauchi, Jap Supreme Commander in Burma, sends his chief of staff, General Numata, and Rear Admiral Shudo to lead the surrender envoys. The capitulation ceremony took place at Rangoon's Government House, a dress rehearsal for the final SEAC surrender at Singapore. Jap officers wore khaki green uniforms, and as usual, there were plenty of ceremonial swords about. Heading the British official delegates was General Boy Browning, Deputy Supreme Commander to Lord Louis Mountbatten. General Browning did the talking, and the Japanese trio listened.
The documents were placed before the Chief of Staff to His Excellency Count Terauchi, and I shall sign them when they are returned.
General Numata signed the instrument of surrender in Japanese script. 7 minutes of tense drama. With General Browning's signature, the last big Japanese forces in Asia lay down their arms. The long fight that began at Pearl Harbor ends in total Allied victory.
That was part one of This Day in History. Part two will return after a quick break, but here is Stranger People by Dopra.
Little issue. Welcome to Burger Bar. Can I take your order, please?
Yeah, hi. I actually have a design question.
Semi-permanent 2018, a three-day festival celebrating 15 years as a global leader in creativity and design. More than 50 creative thinkers, artists and designers here to speak and inspire. Semi-permanent 2018, August 9th to 11th, Aotea Centre, Auckland Central. For tickets and more information, go to semipermanent.com.
Rise and shine, Auckland. It's 95BFM Breakfast.
What I want to know is, where is motoring heaven right now?
The northwestern eastbound. It's all green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mikey Havoc.
Good morning, Jacinda. How are you?
Morena. I wouldn't mind a little background music for an interview.
Breakfast.
Oh, okay. Well, should I play rackets now?
It'd be quite hard to talk over that.
Weekday mornings.
We've got a prime minister who requested rackets.
Breakfast.
Good on you.
And a monthly chance to win a year's free internet.
Woo!
95BFM Breakfast with Mikey Havoc. Weekday mornings from 7 till 10. Thanks to Orcon Broadband.
John Toogood's The Adults. Live at the Power Station Saturday, September 15th. Performing their joyous new album, Hajar, Toogood is joined by an incredible cast of collaborators. Astaire, Reza Beza, Trinity Roots, Ben Wood and Emily C. Browning. The Adults. Saturday, September 15th at the Power Station. For tickets and more information, go to theadults.live.
Mummy, how do I keep on the cutting edge of great new music?
Well, when a DJ loves a record very, very much, they do a special kind of cuddle.
Never mind, I've sorted it out.
The answer to your problems. Follow 95BFM on Spotify for a lovingly curated collection of what's new, what's hot, and what's good in music. July features Church and AP, Keita Levansky, Sophie, Baby Mother, and more. 95BFM's monthly Spotify playlist. Stay au fait.
Yes, we now return to this day in history. When we left off, Japan had just surrendered to the Allied powers, returning some of its empire, such as the colonial Burma, back to the British Empire, which then it was almost immediately became independent, not before the assassination of Premier Aung San on this day in history, 1948.
New Delhi joined in greeting Burma's Independence Day at a ceremony attended by Ernan Patton, India's Governor-General. In Rangoon itself, 4:20 a.m. was the hour fixed by Burmese astrologers as the most auspicious time for the transfer of power. After the Union Jack had been replaced by the flag of independent Burma, the members of the new government were sworn in. At Government House, Sir Hubert Rance, the last British governor in Burma, joined with the President, Sao Shwe Thaik, in a review of troops. Later, the governor went aboard the cruiser Birmingham and from her deck took leave of the new Burma amid the good wishes of her people. A special presentation to the Burmese president was a new car, the gift of the British government. Meanwhile, the people of Rangoon were celebrating independence in many different ways. Everybody walked the streets in their best clothes, some sucking lollipops, others having joyrides in jeeps. Men, women and children flocked to the great Shwe Dagon Pagoda, while others went to the fun fair. Not far away, along the river banks, thousands more enjoyed music as they watched a water pageant. Most colourful item was a magnificent ceremonial barge, complete with dancers in traditional costume. The great statue of Buddha looks down on a people's rejoicings as Burma begins a new chapter in her ancient story.
With Aung San dead, power would shift to a military junta, which ruled the country for several decades, although then slightly relinquishing power to Aung San's daughter, Aung San Suu Kyi, although she hasn't proved to be too good on the Rohingya crisis. And just saying to take us out, something that came up on the BBC in the 90s were documents found within the British Foreign Office that suggested the country's foreign intelligence agencies may have had something to do with Aung San's death.
50 years ago, this man was leading Burma towards independence from Britain. He died in a hail of assassins' bullets. This Burmese politician was hanged for the crime. But did he and his gunmen really act alone, or were shadowy elements of the British establishment behind the plot?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.